In March 2013, something interesting happened that almost nobody noticed at the time, but became enormous news 3 months later. It was this hearing. Senator Ron Wyden was questioning James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, in an open hearing of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Wyden asked him a simple question.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
To understand why this question mattered, you have to understand what the NSA is supposed to be. The National Security Agency is a foreign intelligence agency. Its job is to spy on foreign governments, foreign militaries, and foreign nationals abroad. It's the kind of work that would be flatly unconstitutional if pointed inward. Domestic investigations are supposed to belong to the FBI, and there's meant to be a wall separating foreign intelligence from domestic investigations so that powerful tools like bulk collection, warrantless interception, and dragnet monitoring, which we've allowed for foreign surveillance, don't get turned inward onto a nation's own citizens. The Constitution itself was intended to prohibit the government from turning the machinery of war and broad surveillance powers against its own citizens. So back to Wyden. When he asked whether the NSA was collecting data on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans, he was asking whether the wall between foreign and domestic surveillance, one of the foundational lines in how the American security state is allowed to operate, had been quietly taken down. This was Clapper's response.
No, sir.
Wyden then pressed him further.
It does not.
Not wittingly.
Lo and behold, 3 months later, the Edward Snowden leaks revealed that the NSA was, in fact, collecting the phone data on essentially every call placed in the United States. Clapper had lied to Congress under oath. He later apologized for what he called his clearly erroneous testimony. He was never charged, and the statute of limitations expired in 2018. Now, I want to focus on the most relevant part of this story. Why did Wyden ask the question in the first place? And why did he seem unsatisfied with Clapper's answer and keep pressing him? It's because Wyden already knew the answer. Wyden sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, one of two committees whose members get read into classified intelligence programs. Its role is to oversee the intelligence community and help ensure its activities comply with US law and the Constitution. There aren't many people on these committees, so few people actually get to peek behind the curtain and know what's going on in these programs. The rest of Congress and the public remain in the dark and are kept on a need-to-know basis. So when Wyden asked Clapper whether the NSA was collecting data on millions of Americans, Wyden already knew the answer was yes. He'd been briefed, and when Clapper said no, Wyden knew in real time that the Director of National Intelligence was lying to Congress. But Wyden couldn't just stand up and tell the country what he knew. He was bound by classification rules. There were limited paths that he could take if he thought that there needed to be more awareness, and most would have cost him his seat on the Intelligence Committee. Asking the question in open session, with the question pre-submitted to Clapper's office a day in advance, was one of the few tools that let him try to signal to Congress what was happening without losing his seat on the committee, and with it, his ability to keep exercising oversight. And he likely thought that Congress should know, because the programs seemed to be operating beyond constitutional and legal limits. Wyden was vindicated in 2015 when the Second Circuit ruled that the NSA's bulk phone records program exceeded the scope of what Congress had authorized under Section 215 of the Patriot Act, and that the program had essentially been operating illegally. In 2020, the Ninth Circuit went further, holding that the program had violated federal surveillance law and was likely unconstitutional. The 2015 court said at the time that Congress cannot reasonably be said to have ratified a program of which many members of Congress and all members of the public were not aware. As mentioned, only a small circle of lawmakers on the intelligence committees knew. The rest of Congress, even while they were voting to reauthorize the Patriot Act, did not know what the Patriot Act actually entailed, and neither did the public. You can't meaningfully consent to a program whose existence has been deliberately hidden from you. Why are we talking about this today? Well, because when Senator Wyden goes out of his way to ask pointed questions about a surveillance program, it's usually because he already knows something that he can't say out loud. Which brings us to this year, when Wyden said, "Pay attention to VPNs." Joined by a slew of other politicians, he sent a letter to the current director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. The letter asks Gabbard to publicly warn Americans that using a commercial VPN may cause them to forfeit their Fourth Amendment rights against warrantless surveillance. Wyden likely already knows where the warrantless mass surveillance of VPN users is happening. If it is, VPN users should be made aware. And Wyden lays out in his press release exactly how this might be occurring under current law. Basically, a piece of legislation known as FISA Section 702 and Executive Order 12333 are both authorities that allow certain kinds of mass surveillance, but neither was designed to authorize mass collection of Americans' data. However, Wyden points out that when the US government can't tell what country a person is in, it's allowed to assume that person is a foreigner, which makes their data fair game. And what does this have to do with VPNs? Well, VPNs hide someone's IP address, which is a proxy for their location. If someone uses a VPN, you can't tell which country they're connecting from. So the logic is that the intelligence community can sweep up VPN traffic in bulk because it's not possible to tell whether the user is in the US or not. If such mass surveillance were going on of VPN traffic, it would be a huge loophole for spying on Americans. And there's a perverse logic to it. The very tool that people use to shield themselves from surveillance is what makes them targets of it. Now, we don't know exactly what Wyden has been briefed on, but the pattern from 2013 is clear. When he asks a pointed question in public, it's usually because of something that he can't say out loud. It's not unusual for representatives to be briefed on classified things that affect all of us, things that they can't talk about and that we can't push back on.
I've been in a skiff last week where I saw two secret rulings, interpretations of FISA law, of how the government has created additional loopholes to spy on you that I'm not even allowed to tell you. These are classified as top secret.
So what now? Do you keep using a VPN because it's an essential tool for protecting your IP address from every website you visit? Or do you stop using one because it might be used as an excuse for the government to sweep up all your data? Well, I still use a VPN, and I'm going to keep using one. I don't want my IP address handed to every website that I interact with, and the protection a VPN offers against that is real, even if it's narrower than the marketing suggests. Just be careful. As I covered in a previous video, an overwhelming number of VPN providers are just data collection hubs, and some are outright malware. So be judicious about which one you use. But ultimately, the solution for all of us will be to lean into tools that don't have a single point of data interception. In future videos, we'll dive into tools like decentralized VPNs and mixnets. So if you've used any that you like, I'd love to hear about your experience. The honest answer is that there's no clean solution, because the problem isn't really VPNs. The problem is the entire modern internet. This VPN loophole is a drop in the bucket when the government is buying all of your data from data brokers and hoovering up all your information from third parties without a warrant anyway. Things like the third-party doctrine, which we've covered in a previous video, turn basically every one of your digital interactions into a warrantless surveillance opportunity. A VPN just shifts which third party holds your traffic. It doesn't change the underlying legal theory that says that the government can help itself to it without a warrant. If we want to fix things, we need to re-architect an internet without all of the centralized choke points of control that it currently has. The Clapper hearing mattered because the public didn't know what was going on. We still don't know what Wyden knows or how deeply embedded surveillance is into the modern internet, but we know enough to push back, especially on things like the evasion of warrant requirements. And this year, the Ludlow Institute helped write a bill introduced to the House called the Surveillance Accountability Act that would stop the government from accessing your data without a warrant. The mass collection of our data is a loophole the size of the entire internet. Closing that loophole might just be the fight of our lives, whether we do it through legislation or technology. This video was brought to you by the Ludlow Institute, a nonprofit dedicated to advancing freedom through technology. We're supported entirely by the community. So if you would like to support this work and keep this channel free and accessible to more and more people, visit ludlowinstitute.org/donate. I really appreciate each and every one of you who supports this channel. It means so much. And also, you can check out our merch store because we do have some really cool t-shirt designs. Go and do that.